Hello, hello, and welcome back to episode 14 of Sex Cult Radio. Today's topic is wrestling and pornography. For those of you I haven't met, my name is Callie Rain. I am the High Priestess of the Abyssian Union. That's pretty much my fancy cutesy tarot title for the work that I do at the Abyssian Union, a 501c3 religious nonprofit dedication to the elevation of consciousness through sex and sexuality. One way we do that is by elevating sex work and sex workers for the amazing, wonderful, incredible work that they do. So today's topic is going to be about wrestling and pornography. I am not speaking about fetish wrestling today, as in the type of domination session one may have. I'm speaking about the WWE over the top in the ring glow style wrestling. So I'm very, very excited to talk about that. But before we get into all of that, the sex worker shout out of the day, Venus Cuffs. Venus Cuffs, our sex worker shout out of the day. I have been following her work for quite some time on social media. I believe I started several months ago. Please, 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 please run to her account. I will link her Instagram and links below. She is an incredible advocate and fierce lover of sex workers, as well as an amazing goddess and entrepreneur and kink educator, and overall seems to be an incredible human being, and I urge you to go run and check out her stuff. One thing that really appealed to me when I first saw her work was all of the work that she does with grocery runs for sex workers in New York. I urge you to go check it out. It's really, really cool. Basically, she just delivers groceries to sex workers who really need it, which there were a lot of us this year. So if you are able to contribute in any way, I urge you to go run to Venus Cuffs and check out her stuff. Her Cash App is the dollar sign that we always use, Venus Cuffs. I will link that as well. And that leads me to another bit that I've been working on called an ever-growing list of things less expensive than one-night strip club house fee. Woo! From my experience, that's anywhere from $60 a night to $260 a night, depending on what time you arrive at the club. So far, I have compiled a list of several things since I've started. I think we're on list number four, item number four, I should say. So the very first one was historical sex work, new contributions from history and archaeology, one of my new favorite books. That is pretty standard for an academia type book. It runs for about $85 to $90, still less expensive than strip club house fee. The second item is 1 month subscription on Tryst.link, my favorite independent escorting platform. For those of you who are not familiar, I am a full service sex worker and independent escort myself, and they are my favorite platform in the adult industry. I rant about them all the time. They're incredible. Number three is an intro pair of pleaser high heels. Those run about $60 to $70-ish. The last one we had from one of our recent episodes was a fine dinner in Northampton, Massachusetts, plus a kick-ass trip to the wonderful sex shop called Oh My Sensuality, which I mentioned in the silly porn episode. And number four, in honor of Venus Cuffs, I'm going to call this a lap dance contribution to a sex worker or sex worker-led organization. So what I mean by lap dance contribution, I wish I had more money to give to Venus Cuffs and pretty much every sex worker I encounter, but it has been quite a difficult year for me financially as a full service sex worker and someone who has just been getting into porn. I am celebrating my first year in pornography, woo! However, as the majority of my work in sex work is in full in-person full service, it has been quite a difficult year for me due to COVID. Something that I've been calling a lap dance contribution is somewhere from $20 to $30. And whenever I receive something like that, it makes me really happy. So the reason why I always feel guilty for not approaching every sex worker I can with at least $50 I can't in good conscience ever go into a strip club if I don't have like at least $300 to $500 to spend on the dancers. But that is just because I am a massive, massive simp for sex workers. Whenever I'm on the receiving end of smaller contributions, it always makes me really happy. And I've been calling it the lap dance contribution because $20 is the standard for a lap dance. At least it is in New York City, and I believe it has been for quite some time. So if there's a sex worker that you really, really like, if you really dig their stuff, if you really dig what they do, one, you can subscribe to their OnlyFans if they have one, or buy a video or a membership from sites like ManyVids or Pornhub Premium or something like that. Or if they list their Cash App or Venmo or something publicly, just send them $20 and think of it like getting a lap dance, because it's pretty much the same price. So I think that's a really cool way to contribute to sex workers. It's one that I really love and appreciate when I receive it myself. And it is a super easy and cost-effective way to support our wonderful community of sex work and sex workers. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Venus Cuffs, for all of your sacred work. I think that's probably a good time to take a break. I will come back and we'll talk about wrestling and pornography. Hey, hey, welcome back to Sex Cult Radio, episode 14, Wrestling and Pornography. My name is Callie Rain, for those of you who I haven't met. And before we get into the meat of today's topic, a super low pressure happy ask: if you are able to contribute in any way financially, and if you are able to, that would be amazing. However, I totally get that it's been a really, really tough year financially for all of us, or I shouldn't say all of us, for a lot of us, myself included. However, I am hearing tales of some people, due to whatever industries they're in, have had a really wonderful, great year financially. So if you'd like to contribute to a sex worker-led organization or program or project, you can do so at the Abyssian Union, that is abyssian.org. And if you do that through the donation portal on our website, it is a tax-deductible donation. Yes, we are a registered 501c3. So if you are able to contribute financially in any way, or if you just think I'm really hot, thank you, I work very hard at it, you can contribute anything you would like at abyssian.org. However, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me the gift and the power and privilege of your attention today. I am forever, ever grateful, and I'm really excited to talk to you about today's topic, because it's kind of silly and weird, and I really love porn and sex things that are kind of silly and weird, and things that make me laugh, and things that seem kind of off or different in some way. And I think that speaks to both of these forms of entertainment that I'm speaking about today. One is wrestling, the kind of WWE SmackDown beef with your friends in their shiny booty shorts sort of wrestling. I don't know if any of y'all have seen GLOW. I am obsessed with that show. I think it's incredible. It is a wrestling show about women's wrestling in the late 80s, I believe. It's a hilarious show on Netflix, and it is something that sparked my interest in thinking about wrestling as a form of entertainment. Because in this society paradigm matrix, what have you, we tend to throw it away as smutty soap operas for teenage boys, which is also untrue, because my best friend from growing up as a kid was obsessed with wrestling, and she had posters everywhere, all over her room. And I never understood until I saw a video in college talking about wrestling as sort of like a drunk history format. And the speaker, I can't remember his name, but the speaker was talking about wrestling in the sense of, part of what makes it so fun is not that the wrestling or the combat is real, but because they have these incredible soap opera-esque storylines. I don't remember if he said that they were soap opera-esque. That is my use and adjective and way of describing it. However, it is very, very similar to soap operas in the sense that it has an exaggerated sense of tragedy and intensity in some form. There are characters that that make alliances and then break them suddenly and then come back from, I was going to say come back from the dead, which I guess in wrestling would be coming back from a really long career break. But you get what I mean. It's very intense. It's very exaggerated. It's very over the top. And I think it is that point of exaggeration to the point of almost clownishness that it shares with porn. The outfits, the extreme outfits, the makeup, the glitter, the extremities and heightened characters and persona in general, I think both of these forms of entertainment have in common. And specifically, the outfits as well. You know, I have plenty of little pole booty shorts that are that shiny, almost holographic material that I swear to God, sometimes I'll see photos of Hulk Hogan and I'm like, oh, I have those pants. I wear those on pole. So sometimes we share the exact same outfits. And I don't see that as a bad thing. It's just a part of showmanship and creating a good show for people, because both of these mediums are entertainment. So I think that stems from a place of wanting to put a good show and performance. And within both of these formats, wrestling and porn, I think a lot of the creators and storytellers within them sort of have this ability to go to extremes in the way that you can't in a dramatic film. There's a kind of tone that wrestling and porn have, that you have the privilege of playing in these extremes. And sometimes that can be really scary, because it can be very difficult navigating playing within extremities without being silly or cheesy. But then again, that's also kind of the fun. So maybe that's it, is that there's this privilege of being able to have fun with extremities. Masks as well. There are a lot of wrestlers that luchador style masks that remind me a lot of the kink masks that we have for anonymity or costume or what have you. I was just recording a scene last night where I had a mask on my face. And yeah, superheroes in general, that's also a form of extreme personalities and storylines and storytelling. And another thing that I think marries these two mediums is the idea of sometimes this projection of the psyche of our collective culture or consciousness, which is not just specific or exclusive to wrestling and porn. I think sort of all forms of entertainment fall within that category of being a projection of the psyche of our collective consciousness. However, in wrestling and porn, it can get really distorted really fast, or perhaps that's where we see the distortions, because these formats allow us to go to these extremes so much so that we can see these distortions of where we are, or perhaps where we might be, or where our interests are. And I should say, whenever I speak to any topic, not just wrestling and porn, I try not to have theses when speaking about these things. And I am only just one person speaking from my very, very narrow perspective of my own experience. However, if you have any thoughts or ideas or questions, I would really love to hear them, because I'm sure you have a lot to add to my positions, my posing of these things. And if you'd like to share them, please join us on our Discord. I made a special channel for this exact reason that I called Sex Cult Radio Class Thoughts. So if you have any class thoughts, please jump on there, and I'd love to hear from you. Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to take a break. And then when we come back, I'm going to get into a little bit more about wrestling and porn, and then I think I'll call it a day. All right, talk to you soon. Hey, welcome back to Sex Cult Radio. I am Callie Rain, and today we are talking about the similarities and my uber fascination with wrestling and pornography, and where they overlap, where they differ for sure. But today we're talking a lot of the similarities between the two mediums, because I think there's quite a bit, and it's just fun to think about and chat about. So the last part that I wanted to get into, where I see a lot of similarities in both of these mediums, is that both are seen as degraded or degrading forms of entertainment, yet they have a crazy high demand, as well as the backing of a billion dollar industries. So we tend to see wrestling and porn as these formats and mediums in which they're not considered highbrow entertainment, to say the least. However, they are both backed by tons of money and tons of fans. And similarly, I was talking to my boyfriend about this yesterday, and he brought up this concept that I had never heard before called kayfab, which is a term in wrestling that allegedly stems from an old carny tradition, where it's pretty much you don't break character. So if you see Hulk Hogan in the grocery store, he's always Hulk Hogan. He's always going to greet you in character. And I started thinking about if that applies to porn or not, or I shouldn't say porn, sex work and sex workers. Does that apply to myself at the very least? As a performer, as a person who works in this industry, I think I have a better understanding of when you step into a role and when you take it off. Or when it comes to sex and sexuality in particular, sometimes sex workers are constantly thinking about it. So I think I'm a bit more in tune, or at least I try to be more sensitive to not keeping someone in that role, which I think also speaks to this misconception around sex workers being always available for sex, in the sense that, you know, sometimes we just want to talk about Care Bears or whatever show we just watched or great memes. Yet due to the sex shaming around our culture and sexual repression, we're not able to do that, because there's still so much misconceptions around, well, if you're a sex worker, then you probably want to talk about sex all the time. and that can lead to some really, gross, terrible violations of human rights when it goes to an extreme, when people can't separate your work from who you are, which is really shitty. And a meme that I've seen, or a couple of thoughts that I've seen articulate this idea are, you know, you might go into a cafe and your barista makes you a coffee, yet when they go off the clock, you don't expect them to give you free coffee all the time or just make you coffee. So you shouldn't expect sex workers to always be in a position of wanting to talk to you if you're not paying them, or even if you are. You know, we still have boundaries. We still have things that we do to preserve our own minds and hearts and spirits so that we can do this work to create the best products, the best services for both you and us. So I started thinking about, is this something that I think we sex workers do? Or I shouldn't speak for all of us, just for myself. I just certainly don't have something written into a contract saying I can never break character. When it comes to entertaining and performing, I think I have the ability and privilege to sort of draw that line for myself whenever I feel appropriate. Because sometimes it's fun, you know, sometimes it's fun to step into these roles of heightened sex goddess or goddess or however you identify. Sometimes it's really fun. And people ask that of you regardless of, whether you instigated it or not. And again, that's not necessarily a good or bad thing, just something that's been on my mind, that I would urge you all to be sensitive when you are speaking to sex workers, especially outside of their workplace, outside of a work context. Please keep that in mind, that not everyone is available for listening to your fantasies or sexual trauma, et cetera, et cetera. However, you know, I also don't want to discount the fact that that a lot of us do this work because we love it. Not everyone, the same way that people don't like their jobs in farming or doing sanitation work, whatever kind of work you do. Some of us really love it and find huge passionate motivations behind it. And some of us just do it because it's a great paycheck and it's something that we can do for the money. However, I don't want to discredit that, that there can be an immense sense of pleasure and joy into stepping into these characters. And that's something that I don't want to discount either. Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to stop, because now I'm just going to get redundant and keep talking about the same things over and over again. So thank you for joining me on today's very silly and delightful episode on wrestling and pornography. I had a lot of fun thinking about this. I hope y'all had a lot of fun listening. Be kind to sex workers. Be kind to everyone.